It's 8 o'clock on Today. Coming up, ready for takeoff? New 5G cell service rolls out overnight, but this morning some flights are already canceled.
There's still a lot of work to be done.
So what does it mean for passengers? We're live with the latest. Then, online crackdown, an inside look at the new measures Snapchat is taking to address dangerous counterfeit pills and the tragic consequences some families have faced.
It angers me that they're getting away with this.
How the social media giant is trying to fix the problem. Plus, family drama. Britney Spears' legal battle with her father intensifies. The new court documents released overnight as the pop star speaks out about the growing feud with her mother and sister. And stay Goldie. We're joined by Hollywood icon Goldie Hawn to discuss a different type of role, mental health advocate. A look at her fight to help children find emotional balance. Today, Wednesday, January 19th, 2022.
Waking up early with Today from Green Cove Springs, Florida.
Celebrating our engagement with Today.
And I can't think of a better way to ask my best friend, Allie Crane, will you be my maid of honor?
Woo!
Hi, my name is Madeline, and I'm from Albany, New York. I just turned 7, and I love the Today Show.
I mean, is there anything cuter than
That's
a 7-year-old
so
girl?
Yeah,
I don't
how
think
about
so.
Ellie Crane about yes, to right? be the maid of honor? That was pretty cool,
what
too.
A creative way to ask.
Virtual Plaza is up and running. We love it. Let's get to your news here at 8 o'clock. There is hope that a last-minute compromise will reduce some of the airline chaos expected today after the overnight rollout of new 5G cell phone networks. AT&T and Verizon agreed to temporary delays near some airports over flight safety concerns. NBC's Tom Costello has been on the story for us. He's got the latest. Tom, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So the flight cancellations we're seeing right now are pretty much limited to international inbound flights. Emirates Air, Air India, Japan Airlines, they canceled flights into the United States specifically because they were concerned that the 5G cell sites might interfere with the altimeters on their Boeing 777s. Those are the wide-body big planes for international flights. Keep in mind, while 5G is turned off around airports because of this compromise with the cell phone companies and the aviation industry, it is still live across the country, and the concern is coming in over cities where you've got 5G deployed, there could be some interference. And so out of an abundance of caution, some international carriers have decided that they are simply not going to fly into the U.S. right now on those wide-body planes. As for most other traffic, it is flying normally. They are flying normally today across the country. 5G is live, but it is not live around airports, and that should help really kind of mediate the situation nationwide. For the most part, should be a normal day of flying across the country. Guys, back to you.
All right, Tom Costello on the story for us. Thank you, Tom.
One day before his first anniversary in office, President Biden will hold a news conference later today. The White House says he will highlight achievements such as the passage of a $2 billion COVID relief package and another $1 billion for infrastructure. But with his approval ratings falling, aides say the president will also try to reassert his leadership on more challenging issues, including inflation, the Omicron explosion, and rising tension with Russia over Ukraine. And of course, NBC will have live coverage of that news conference on many of these stations later on this afternoon.
If you are having breakfast right now, there's a decent chance it includes a glass of orange juice, but the price of OJ may be going up because Florida's orange growers are facing their smallest crop in more than 70 years. NBC's Morgan Chesky joins us with what's behind that shortage. Morgan, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning. And the impact here is pretty profound. We've heard of the orange groves in California. We actually have plenty right here in Texas, but it is the Florida orange in particular that is being so profoundly impacted. Take a changing market and add disease, and producers are costing big time. And it could end up costing all of us more the next time we head to the supermarket.
This morning, that glass of OJ may be looking half empty. In Florida, the nation's top orange-producing state, the Agriculture Department's forecasting the smallest harvest season since the 1940s. 44.5 million boxes of fruit, compared to a peak of 244 million in the late 90s. One of the biggest factors, a disease that's been around for years called citrus greening, that infects trees, which then bear fruit, with less juice.
The processors who are making the orange juice need to buy more fruit to get the same yield, and therefore it costs them more to manufacture the orange juice.
Judy Gaines, whose consulting firm tracks agricultural commodities, predicts the reduced crop will trickle down to consumers. NBC's grocery price tracker shows the national average for a bottle of OJ up 15 cents from 2020, and that could increase even more.
How much longer before we start to see a spike when we go to the grocery store?
Oh, we've been seeing it. Orange juice prices will continue to rise because there is definitely a problem for the processors.
And that problem only getting worse since 2019, when growers near Tampa shared struggles of depleted harvests.
We put so much effort, so much love and money into something, and it still just dies.
Demand for orange juice, sliding for decades, got a boost during the pandemic with more people at home. But with a return to normalcy on the way, we may soon be pouring one out for the once favorite breakfast drink.
So experts say due to the dwindling supply here in the United States, juice processors could turn to places like Mexico and Brazil to shore up some of their inventory. But until scientists can figure out how to stop that citrus greening disease, more and more groves everywhere will be faced with smaller fruit that has less juice. Guys, we'll send it back to you.
Okay, Morgan Chesky, thank you very much.
The fashion world has lost an influential trailblazer who had the power to push new trends and break old rules. Former Vogue creative director and editor-at-large Andre Leon Talley died yesterday, a man widely considered to be a creative force and an unforgettable presence. Standing 6 feet, 6 inches tall, Andre Leon Talley was a towering presence, both literally and figuratively, in the world of fashion. With his flowing robes and colorful caftans, Talley was a fixture on glamorous red carpet events, and for years was seated front and center at high-profile runway shows around the globe. Overnight, Talley's Instagram account announced the passing of the 73-year-old fashion icon, saying in part, Mr. Talley was the larger-than-life, longtime creative director at Vogue during its rise to dominance as the world's fashion Bible. It was at Vogue that Talley made his mark alongside Anna Wintour. In 1988, he became the publication's first African-American creative director and was ultimately named editor-at-large. In his book, The Chiffon Trenches, Talley wrote of his influential position at Vogue. Anna Wintour may be the highest-ranking black man in the history of fashion journalism. Talley was outspoken about the lack of diversity in the fashion industry and became a trailblazer, using his influence to feature black models on Vogue's cover and showcasing black designers in the magazine. Raised by his grandmother in the Jim Crow South and reaching the highest ranks of the fashion world was no easy task, as he told Al on Today.
Every day is a struggle for a black man, no matter what station in life you've achieved. I could have been George Floyd. I could have been Ahmaud Arbery. Really, nothing has changed. So my story is a story of how to survive all odds, no matter what the odds are.
His artistic vision later extending beyond publishing, serving as a stylist for the Obamas during Barack Obama's presidency, and later holding court as a judge on America's Next Top Model. Andre Leon Talley, the death of a beloved fashion giant at the age of 73.
You know, Andre touched the hearts of so many. We were just talking about it. I woke up this morning, I checked social media, and it seems like almost everything, everybody I know, you know, he just touched so many lives.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a real trailblazer.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys, it is 8:08. We've got the news covered. Would you all like a little boost?
Absolutely.
Here we go. A grandmother in Illinois was expected for dinner at a family member's house, so she stopped along the way to get some coffee, but she didn't know about a surprise guest holding the flowers who was about to open the door for her. Take a look.
Hi.
Oh, oh my gosh. Granddaughter Lindsay.
I'm gonna need a slow-mo. Oh my gosh, amazing.
She'd been away for 6 months. Clean up on aisle two, but who cares, basically. Who cares? That was beautiful.
Oh, what a moment. Great. That's so cute. I still say we need a Hall of Fame for these people.
I know.
We got them, yeah.
She should, at least she threw it to the side.
Yeah.
Like, not
that
the
is
true. It's actually full under pressure.
All right. Still ahead, can Snapchat become a safer place?
Kate Snow is going to explore how the popular app is trying to stop users from pushing counterfeit pills on the site and why some families say those efforts are not nearly enough. The story right after this.
We are back 8:13 with an NBC News exclusive as Carson joins us this
morning. Yes, the popular platform Snapchat is taking steps to prevent people from finding deadly counterfeit pills on its app.
Yeah, NBC senior national correspondent Kate Snow joins us now. She sat down with Snapchat's global head of platform security. Kate, good morning to you.
Good morning, Savannah. So this interview comes after months of back and forth with Snapchat following multiple reports that we've done about parents who've lost children who obtained pills containing deadly fentanyl on the app. Snapchat wanted to sit down now to describe its new efforts. They say they've made substantial changes in the past year, but some parents who've lost children are not satisfied, one going as far as saying that Snapchat should consider shutting down.
Jaime Puerto will never forget the last night he spent with his 16-year-old son, Daniel, looking through old photos. The next morning, he found Daniel slumped on his bed.
Started yelling at the top of my lungs, Daniel, 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 trying to wake him up.
Daniel died after taking half a counterfeit pill containing fentanyl. Puerto believes his son thought he was getting a genuine painkiller through Snapchat.
And I was holding his hand when he took his last breath. Horrible.
Snapchat knows it has a problem. In September, Jacqueline Bosher was hired as global head of platform safety.
Why do you think they are using Snapchat, your platform, to buy these pills?
90% of 13 to 24-year-olds in this country use Snapchat. We couple that with Snapchat's strong privacy features, and we recognize that bad actors will attempt to abuse our platform to reach this vulnerable audience. That's why we're determined to make Snapchat a hostile environment for drug dealers to operate.
Snapchat says it's using new technology to detect and take down drug-related accounts. It's also relying on user reports and third-party intelligence services.
And those services are then alerting Snap as to what they uncovered, what they found, so that the company can again take action up front on that content and on those accounts.
Is that different than what you were doing, say, a year ago?
All of these techniques are evolving and growing. And in some instances, we're making proactive referrals to law enforcement in the hopes of prompting an investigation.
When a Snap user tries to search for a drug-related term, they're now directed to in-app content about the dangers of fentanyl.
Have we learned at all? No. In fact, we realize that our work may never be done.
For Jaime Puerta, it's not enough.
Anytime somebody signs into the Snap, there should be a warning to advise whoever's opening up their profile for that day, please do not buy pills from our app.
Even calling out Snap's CEO.
If I were Evan Spiegel, who has children, I would actually shut down my app until I could come up with a fix.
Puerta says Snapchat is too slow to respond to law enforcement requests.
Do you still know families who are waiting for answers?
Oh, yeah.
But Snapchat says it's responding more quickly to valid requests now, reducing the wait time from months to a matter of weeks.
Some of the families have said to us that they wish that Snapchat would apologize. Will you apologize?
For the families, we're heartbroken. Their pain is unimaginable, their devastation incomprehensible, and our hearts go out to them. It's those stories that drive us to continuously improve.
Does that sound like an apology? They're never going to apologize. An apology would be admitting that they are culpable.
Snapchat says it has previously apologized to families in person and in writing. And after our interview, they sent NBC News a statement addressing all parents who have lost children, which reads in part, "We are deeply sorry for your loss and know we can't imagine the immense grief you have experienced." Snapchat also says new parental tools will be out in the coming months.
The tools will offer parents insight into the friends that their teens are connecting with on Snapchat without encroaching on the privacy of our younger users.
Does that mean that parents would be able to see who their children are talking with, but not what they're saying?
In a word, yes.
Until then, Jaime Puerta wants parents to hear his alarm.
I am screaming to the top of my lungs for parents to listen to me. that they need to monitor what their children are doing on these apps.
Toward the end of our interview, he was overcome with emotion.
It's just so sad that this happens on a daily basis. Children dying in the United States of America. It angers me. It angers me that they're getting away with this.
Jaime Puerta heads a family group called Void. They are planning a protest, by the way, in front of Snapchat headquarters later this month. Some other parents are working with Snapchat to try and help the app improve. Guys.
I mean, just to see his grief, and he's telling parents, listen to me, listen to me. I hope people will listen. You know, we focus a lot on Snapchat here. That's obviously where Jaime Puerta lost his son, but it happens on other sites as well.
Yeah, that's right, Savannah. So drug dealers typically use multiple social media platforms to try and reach the biggest audience they can. Bocher told me that those dealers often will use other social media platforms to target young people, basically advertising, and then telling them to use their Snapchat handle to connect with them and then make the sale after that.
Kate, thank you again. Always staying on this story. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn more about it and other tools that are being rolled out to make Snapchat safer for young users, we've got that information on our website, today.com. But we were just talking. I mean, you got to talk to your kids.
You have to talk to your children. You know, my little guy is 12, and I've had the conversation. Because even if you say, well, my kid doesn't have it, their friends have it.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. It's everywhere. So you have to talk to your
kids. Back in the day, if a kid was out on the block, like when we were growing up, you know, if involved maybe in a shady deal or buying pot or whatever, you could see them in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Hey, get in the house. Yeah. But now on the phone, they're on the block in a different way.
Yeah.
That's why you got to grab that device and know where they are.
You're right. It's good.
All right. Mr. Roker, how about a check of the weather?
All right. Let's show you what we've got around the country today. We are looking at severe storms down through the lower Mississippi River Valley, rain and snow into the Tennessee River Valley, an Arctic chill from the plains all the way into the Great Lakes, and some showers moving into the Pacific Northwest. That is your latest weather.
Still talking.
We all talk about Snapchat.
Hey.
The best time of the day.
Encanto is going to make pop start.
Yeah.
We'll get to it in a second. We're going to start this morning. How with Britney Spears, her legal battle with her father is intensifying as she continues to speak out about her growing feud with her mother and her sister. Mm. Pop star correspondent Miguel Almaguer now joins us with the latest. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, Carson, good morning. Yes, Britney Spears has been much more outspoken since being released from her conservatorship, and now she is fighting with her family members in court and online.
This morning, Britney Spears free, but still fighting. The pop star speaking out about her family as her legal battle with her father heats up. Jamie Spears had controlled many of his daughter's financial and personal dealings for almost 14 years, and now asking that she pay his legal bills for the lengthy battle that ended the arrangement. Overnight, Britney pushing back with legal documents, saying Jamie enriched himself while acting as conservator with more than $6 million of the singer's earnings. Also accusing her father of abusive and bullying conduct, chronic alcohol abuse, and alleging an altercation between him and Britney's child. The documents allege that Jamie Spears used Britney's resources to further his own career, including an attempted cooking show, and used a security firm to spy on her cell phone. Jamie Spears has previously stated that he acted to protect Britney as her conservator and unconditionally loves and supports his daughter. It comes as Britney is in a public war of words with her sister, Jamie Lynn Spears, who's promoting a new book. The younger sister saying in interviews that she tried to help Britney throughout the conservatorship.
How many times can I take the steps without, she has to walk through the door.
On Tuesday, Britney posting a new fiery Instagram post, now deleted, outlining a troubled family past, implying Jamie Lynn found fame through her older sister. Spears describing returning home after her breakup with Justin Timberlake, calling Timberlake's family all I knew for many years. Spears ending the post writing, I'm sorry, Jamie Lynn, I wasn't strong enough to do what should have been done. Slapped you and Mama right across your expletive faces.
Britney's legal team has filed a cease and desist request against her sister, trying to prevent her from referencing Britney's derogatory themes during her promotional campaign for the book. NBC News has reached out to Jamie and Jamie Lynn Spears and has not yet heard back. Carson.
Well, Miguel, thanks. You're right. She got her freedom, but the fighting continues. We'll have more on that later. The Grammys is up next. After being postponed due to COVID-related concerns for the second year in a row, music's biggest night has officially been rescheduled. The 64th annual Grammys will now be held at the MGM Arena in Vegas on Sunday, April 3rd. Trevor Noah from The Daily Show still set to be your MC for the Grammys. There's a lot to look forward to. That's right. We've got your favorite Uncle
Al. Jon Batiste.
Jon Batiste is up for 11 awards this year. That's the most. Justin Bieber, Doja Cat, and a bunch of others. Her, we love around here also. So we're looking forward to finally seeing who takes home the Grammys, this time in Vegas in the spring. Next up, Encanto. Is this on repeat in your house like it is on mine? The box office hit soundtrack has earned the highest charting song from an animated Disney movie in 26 years. That is We Don't Talk About Bruno that plays in my head constantly. Performed by Carolina Guyton. Muro Castillo and the entire cast of Lin-Manuel Miranda's latest musical masterpiece. Believe it or not, that track has actually surpassed Let It Go from Frozen on the Billboard Hot 100. We Don't Talk About Bruno. Bruno, by the way, John Leguizamo, the voice of that. Coming in at number 4 on this week's chart, thanks to 29 million streams, 28 of those in the Daily Household, 8,000 downloads. The last song from an animated Disney movie to rank at number 4 was Vanessa Williams' Colors of the Wind. That goes back to Pocahontas. So it looks like everybody actually is talking about guys, that's your pop star.
Thank you. All right, guys, just ahead, how excited are we? The one, the only Goldie Hawn. She's going to join us live to talk about her iconic career and her inspiring work to help kids. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, 8:30 Wednesday morning, 19th day of January 2022. And on a cold morning, we are going to bring you a ray of sunshine.
Great. Goldie Hawn is with us. She's going to take her passion project to help kids and families in a new direction. Good morning, sweet Goldie. Can't wait to chat with her and hear all about it.
When we named our 2-year-old Goldie, Goldie Hawn was the only other Goldie we could think of.
There you go.
So that's the OG right there. Looking forward to that chat. Also, I had lots of parents are clashing with their own parents when it comes to the best way to raise their kids. But our friend Maria Shriver is here in the studio, and there is a lot of hope, she says, in the form of grandparenting school. Maria will explain that.
Ooh, that is intriguing.
Yeah.
Plus, in the dead of winter, we could all use some help with our skin. This morning, a dermatologist to the stars will share the best drugstore products and other secret weapons to have your face looking even better.
And we're going to be joined by TikTok royalty in our third hour. The Pasta Queen is live. She's going to show us 2 delicious recipes.
Yeah, but first, Mr. Roker, how about a check of the weather?
Okay, we're going to look ahead to the weekend, show you what we've got. Starting on Friday, freezing cold, Great Lakes to the northeast, snow and ice along the mid-Atlantic, light snow back to Rockies into the plains. On Saturday, more light snow from the plains to the Great Lakes, a gulf chill, morning snow along the southeastern Atlantic coast with plenty of sunshine out west. Sunday, we're looking for snow showers from the Dakotas all the way into New England. The chill continues down south. Out west, it is full sunshine, although temperatures a little on the cooler side. And that's your latest weather.
Hey, Al, thank you so much. I'm like chit-chatting during all the commercials. I'm so happy to be with us. It's been very lonely in the basement. Guys, if you could use a smile this morning, stick around because the legendary Goldie Hawn is with us live.
We will celebrate 2 of her most iconic roles and find out why she's dedicating her infectious energy to a wonderful cause these days. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Welcome back. Our next guest is an actress, producer, director, philanthropist, mother, grandmother, and the list goes on, but we're running out of time. So we're talking about the one and only Goldie Hawn.
Just add legend to it. She starred as Helen Sharp in the hilarious dark comedy Death Becomes Her. She kept us in stitches in the beloved movie Overboard. Both films celebrating milestone anniversaries this year, actually.
But Goldie's most recent role is one that's very close to her heart, and that is mental health advocate. She launched Mind Up for Life back in 2003, a program that teaches children skills that they can use to regulate stress and other emotions.
Well, it has recently gone digital, and Goldie joins us now to tell us all about it. Hi, Goldie. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I'm still got frogs in my throat. It's so early here anyway.
I know you're nice to wake up so early on the West Coast, but I know it's because this cause is so dear to you. You've been at this for a long time, and this is explain to people what this project is, because it's not mental health counseling. This is really education about mental health.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that if we're going to teach children, and this was in 2003 that I started this, we should teach children, let them understand how their brain works. So MindUp is really neuroscience based. And it's there so our children can actually understand their brain how it works, how to access it, and also how to regulate their emotions. Because once they understand how their brains work, then they can access a way to control it. So managing your brain and understanding it is vitally important for our children's well-being and also for their mental health. And you know, when I created this program and basically produced it and pulled neuroscientists together and positive psychologists and so forth and put everything into one program, which basically goes into the classroom. And that program actually helps them learn and feel better and understand these tools of how to manage their stress. I mean, it's so simple, and yet it should be put in every classroom. And so that's what we're launching today. Mm-hmm. And it's the first digital learning platform that we have had. And now we have 27 countries coming. We're working with parents again. We're working with families, as well as in the school. Yeah. So teachers can take the program and put it into their classroom.
And this is needed, obviously. Goldie, it's needed now, as you know, more than ever with the pandemic and isolation. But, you know, you started this program back in 2003. You've had your own mental health journey began when you were 19 years old. How have you noticed how society is talking about mental health then versus now?
It's a big difference. People now are really recognizing that our brain is a muscle and it actually can be affected and offended in many ways and enlightened, of course, by our surroundings. And it's especially being shown with our children right now. It's an epidemic, guys. We're really in trouble. Our children need us. They need programs that should be in schools, every school in America, every school in the world. You know, America is not the only one who's suffering from children's mental destabilization. And so we have to be here as the adults that are saying, look, we have to change. If we don't give them this in their classroom to deal with mental stability, mental health, and how they get over problems and critical thinking and things we need, we are not going to have the world that we would like tomorrow. So our children are our biggest resource.
And how have you used this knowledge? Because as I mentioned, it's really, you said it was neuroscience. You're learning about the amygdala and the hippocampus, all those things I was supposed to memorize in science class and never did. But how does that, having that knowledge about the brain's anatomy help you deal with, you know, mental health challenges?
That's a good question. And because you know the aspect of the brain, they understand the midbrain. And even when they're little, the amygdala is, and we use those little animals, right? So when we lose the, you know, use the barking dog, and they understand that the prefrontal cortex can't think when the amygdala is overactive. So what they do is they breathe, they focus. All these things have direct correlation to neurological activity. So when you give the brain what it needs in order to focus better, to learn better, to absorb better, then they're able to take the information. So we have to give them context into their brain so they can actually manage it.
And even just, you know, kind of, you know, simpler than that, I mean, for me, when I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, going to the doctor, I opted for cognitive therapy. You know, just cognitive thinking really helps because it does teach you, if you don't know the parts of the brain, it teaches you that brain causes behavior. And once you have that understanding of that model, you don't think you're broken. And that's a big part of this whole mental health challenge. It was for me anyway.
Exactly. And it worked for me. I mean, I was very anxious when I became successful. I didn't know what was happening, you know. I was 19 years old and I went to a doctor and then I learned about meditation and then I learned about how to self-regulate myself and find a more positive way of approaching things. And I was a positive person anyway. So it was really, I came back to myself. So I think that we have to know that it's not a bad word to say I'm mentally disturbed right now. I don't feel good. It's okay. It's that we have ways of and tools to be able to help, especially our children. You know, once they do mind up, it's like riding a bike. They never forget it. And we've done this in some of our longitudinal studies. Wow. So I'm advocating for mind up. We're online, mindup.com. Yeah. Go there. I mean, .org, sorry. And sign up, really, for the teachers to go in the classroom. I mean, we've got 7 million children already up in an approximation. We can't everything because people have taken mind up on their own in the world. So let's keep going.
We're
going
to do it. We're going to get them there. The website's going to get flooded today.
See, that's what got her up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you've produced a lot of great movies, but this might be your best production yet, Goldie. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Goldie.
Well, Thanks, sweetheart.
You
Thanks
got it.
So
We're going to talk
much.
More, of course, in the third and fourth hour. We want to mention that you can find more about Mind Up for Life at today.com.
All right. Coming up next, the changing roles of today's grandparents that have some now heading to grandparenting classes. Maria Shriver, a beautiful grandmother herself, has that story. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Right? We are back with a story that many of you will relate to, the joys and challenges of grandparenting.
Yeah, being one these days is very different than it used to be. And Maria Shriver, one of our favorites, she also happens to be a grandmother, is here to explore that new frontier.
I am the only grandmother.
You are. One.
Hold
you
it
are.
For now.
Right.
For now.
For now, that's right. We'll
and the hottest.
Everybody.
Yeah, that
Thank
too.
You, Al. Well, speaking from personal experience, there is nothing more special or joyous than being a grandparent. And as our lifespan increases, many of us will be in our grandkids' lives longer than ever before. And this morning, we're taking a look at grandparenting today, the benefits and the new challenges. And how different generations of parents in one family can work together to raise kids, even when they disagree.
It used to be grandparenting was just about showering kids with attention and love. But these days, it's a lot more complicated. Grandparents now have to grapple with everything from modern car seats to new rules around kids' sleep to what they eat and watch, even the best way to hold them.
I hold them like this. I don't need a swaddle to make them feel comfortable.
Now open up. Here comes the airplane.
Keith Klein and his wife Mary adore caring for their granddaughters.
Yes, honey.
2-year-old Emma and 4-month-old Isla. And Keith's daughter Rachel and son-in-law Seth depend on the help.
How important are they
Very.
In your ability to kind of run the lives that you have?
Yeah. Essential.
But their combined ideas of child rearing don't always mesh.
No, not a cupcake.
It's very challenging because everyone has the right way to do things.
It's hand-to-hand combat on a daily basis is what I would say.
So how do you manage that? It's 2 years of parenting experience up against 30.
So the classic line that I think every mom gets from grandparents is, well, I raised you and look at you. But it's also, you know, science evolves and new things work that people didn't maybe know about before.
Surveys find these kind of generational disputes about raising kids are now common. Grandparents often feel baffled by the democratization of the family when parents give kids a large say in decisions. Many wish parents were firmer, especially with manners, respect, and learning the value of money.
Emma, what's his name?
Grandpa.
In this family, Rachel and Seth say they're the strict ones.
It feels like we know the rule book, but we're not necessarily always following it. Whereas at times the grandparents, at least from my perspective, don't even know the rule book, even though they do.
So that's, they just have a different rule
it's
book.
It's a different it. Rule book.
Yeah.
Emma, here's your surprise.
Grandpa Keith says his biggest challenge is sticking to the house rules around giving the kids sugar.
Once a week, I bring Emma a chocolate cupcake. They erupt. I said, there's nothing that says that that's harmful once a week.
Just one point to clarify there is there was Emma was sleeping and Keith had come in during the nap and put the cupcake down next to Emma because he wanted her to wake up and be really happy because she had a cupcake.
Hi, welcome to grandparents class.
To get on the same page as their kids, some grandparents are going back to school.
Kids are much safer on their backs and it lessens the risk of sudden infant death.
This grandparenting class by the Pump Station and Nursery in Southern California teaches seniors the new ABCs, from bottles and diapers to squad lean and safety seats.
Know your stuff. Study this yourselves. Don't just say, well, in my day, it's an easy thing to say, but it isn't helpful.
The Fonte Kleins say their secret to getting along is a healthy sense of humor. They know the value of grandparents is simply priceless.
And I'm able to give them so much love. I tell them I love them every time I'm with them, how much I love them.
I just want to be their granddaddy, grandpa. That's where I get immortality. Because when they're 7 years old and I'm long gone, they will remember me and all the wonderful things.
Oh, so So, Maria, there are parents who have an opinion, grandparents who have an opinion, but everyone's got to get along to raise the kids. So what's some good advice there?
Well, they say. I'm going to tell you what they tell me to say. Don't offer advice unless you're asked for your advice.
Right.
And if you are, you know, have questions, you can say, tell me more about how you're actually
doing.
As a grandparent.
Haven't you earned the right to just get some knowledge?
That's right. I was just saying, I say, I have raised four children. My daughter sometimes forgets that I actually am a mother. She's like, are you going to be okay? Do you know what you're doing? I'm like, I think I'm okay. But they're clearly, you know, really rely on the grandparents as well, which I think is a great new tradition. Mm-hmm. So many grandparents are really important, integral when it comes to daycare, when it comes to also, you know, emphasizing kind of family history and manners and respect.
Institutional
think how much
knowledge,
parenting has changed, though, among generations.
Yeah. Yes, it's like the schedule is king or queen. Like, it's okay. She can stay. Nope, the schedule.
Don't mess with the routine.
Don't mess with
They'll learn.
All right. That's a great time. Maria, thank you.
Thank you, Maria. All right, up next, we're going to help you put your best face forward with a dermatologist's top picks for the best wrinkle-fighting products and devices. Oh. But first, this is Today on NBC.
So she's on fire.
Back now with Today Wellness. This morning, we are helping you hit that refresh button on the health of your skin.
Yes.
Good time to do that.
If you've inherited a few more worry lines late, you're certainly not alone. And the good news, there are products and procedures at every price point to keep those pesky wrinkles at bay.
Here with the latest and the greatest options, New York City-based dermatologist
Dr. McCreen Alexiades. And you can shop along with us using that QR code in the corner. Dr. McCreen, good morning. It's good to
good
see
morning.
You.
Good morning, Savannah and Hoda. It's so great to be here to talk about the 3Ds of beauty.
Yeah.
Drugstore, device, and derm for our beauty refresh.
I love it because we're going to go run the gamut here. Let's start with the drugstore because that's most accessible to folks. When you're looking at all the products, what should you really be looking for in a good drugstore product? Mm-hmm.
The first D is drugstore, and there are three key ingredients to look for simple shopping at the drugstore to reduce the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles. The first is retinol, and ROC is a really good product for that. The second is hyaluronic acid, and for that I recommend the L'Oreal Revitalift. And then the third is hyaluronic acids. And Olay Regenerist does a great job with that.
Doctor, do they really work?
Yeah, I always wonder. When I'm in the drugstore, I'm like, I'm not 100% sure that that's really doing the trick.
I feel like you might
need the expensive stuff. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I'm a formulator, and I can tell you consistency is key. Mm. The tip I give my patients is to remember to put on your skincare when you brush your teeth, morning and night, and you will see results over the course of several weeks.
All right, the other thing that's been flying around the internet are all these devices. You people see people with, like, the mask and the red light that. And we've got a few devices. You've got them there. What are the ones you like that you think actually work?
The second D is device. And there are three classes of at-home devices that we're going to look at today. Mm-hmm. One is electric current, second, radio frequency, and third, LEDs, or light-emitting diodes.
Mm-hmm. And how do they work?
Yeah, what do you do with this one?
So the first is electricity, and this is called the new face, and it's low-level electricity that stimulates the muscles, and you apply it to the skin, gliding motion.
You need a gel. She's going to shock herself here with this. You got to put the gel on, right?
I don't feel any electricity, but
you put the gel on, and you will not feel a shock.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Okay.
And so that one is, and you do it like, you have to do it every night for a while. It's another thing where you have to be patient.
You have to be patient, and all of these devices need to be used several times a week.
What's the price point on this one?
Well, in terms of devices, you're looking at usually in the low to mid hundreds range for each device.
Okay, and I see this red mask.
Yeah, this looks
what does
scary.
That do? This is what I keep seeing on the internet.
Okay, so the third class is the LED, which is light emitting diode. And this one is called the Omnilux, and it emits red and infrared light. And you apply it to the face for a specified time.
Okay.
And like the other devices, you're going to use it several times a week for a rejuvenative effect.
Okay. So it brightens? Is that what it does?
Yeah, so all of the devices do stimulate collagen to some extent, but the difference is that with LED, you will get some brightening and lightening of spots.
Okay.
And then what's this new one? What does that do, the radio frequency?
So The third class is radio frequency, and this is near and dear to my heart because I spent over 20 years bringing radio frequency devices to market. And what it does is it stimulates all three categories of skin: collagen, elastin, and hyaluronic acid. And you apply it in a mobile fashion, which was one of my inventions many years ago. And this is done in areas where you feel you need some extra tightening and firming.
Okay.
And it is FDA approved and proven to reduce appearance of wrinkles.
All right.
Lines.
Now, let's. Mm-hmm. We only have a few seconds left. Dr. McCreen, if you want to go big ticket, you want to go to the dermo,
yeah,
you're ready to spend some money, where is your buck best spent?
Yes, well, the third and last is derm. And for derm, the latest and the greatest is radiofrequency microneedling with PRP. That's platelet-rich plasma, which we take from your blood and spin it down to get the growth factors. This is a one-and-done treatment.
Wait,
with significant improvement.
You is take this blood
like,
out
is
and
this
put
like
it
that
in?
Vampire facial that the celebrities all do?
So the vampire facial was the PRP injected.
Oh.
What's novel about this technique is that the radiofrequency microneedling alone will improve.
We gotta go,
Dr.
McCreen.
Thank you. We're coming up next, the third hour of today.